Well, as Brother Mark alluded to, today is our last day of Bible school classes. And we've had some really good theme exhortations this week. And today, our theme comes by way of Brother Seth Turner. And he's going to speak to us on verse 14 of Psalm 27. Let's recite it one last time together. If you can do it without your blue book, that's great. I'll start us off and then I'll let you guys all finish. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Give our kind attention now to our brother Seth Turner.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Strange, when you move to a new ecclesia that has over 60 brothers, you don't give exhortations very often. So it's been almost a year, and now I'm giving it to one of the largest audiences I've ever had. So, bear with me. So we're supposed to wait, be strong, and take heart, wait on the Lord. And when I originally got the invitation to give a theme exhortation, it was set up in the days. He said, what day do you want? I was like, oh, I'll take Friday, because then I can use the whole week to write my exhortation. I don't have to do anything right now. And I didn't know it was on waiting, and honestly, I hate waiting. Because I usually have a waiting of something that's irritating me. You know, you're 5 minutes from work and somebody's sitting there at a green light. And it's green. Let's go. Or, you know, in my profession, you have to work on BMWs for a living. You go into the parts department and you need the part to fix the car. Because if I don't fix the car, I don't get paid. And I stand there at the parts counter, and the parts guys are not paid on the amount of parts they give across the counter. So they're more interested in their Twitter account on their phone, and you're waiting. And the waiting here, though, come to find out, is not that irritating time that is being wasted. It is a preparation time. It's a time that you use to prepare yourself for the kingdom. And to come up with a couple analogies, I was thinking about the longest time I've had to wait for something, because, you know, besides the kingdom coming, the longest time I had to wait was about 9 months for something I really wanted. And that was for my two beautiful boys. And I thought that the whole process of pregnancy was, you know, when she gets pregnant, you just wait 9 months, and then, you know, there's that 5 minutes of in the, you know. Well, this is what the shows and the movies tell you. Just kind of this 5 minutes of, and then you got the baby. And come to find out, pregnancy is a participation on my part and her part from day one. You know, there comes the morning sickness, and then there comes the, you know, the aches and the pains, and the, oh, I need some butter pecan ice cream at 2 o'clock in the morning. It does happen. Except for with Jess, it was more of a chicken burrito from Chipotle. And I swear, I've never seen her, just, it was just gone, and then she's looking at mine, and there's been more than one occasion where I just kind of push my plate over to hers. I'm like, you're good. But, you know, there was a lot of preparing, education during those 9 months of knowing what to expect, what to do, what to expect. You train yourself for this situation. And the other, you know, but it was a very eager, very exciting time. And the other waiting I had was for, you know, this Bible school. You wait a whole year for this Bible school to come around. And this is pretty much the peak of my year spiritually, is to be here with all of you. I get kind of beat down every day from all the guys at work who are quite immoral, and they don't really care about anything but themselves. And there is a verse in Proverbs that says, you know, evil corrupt company corrupts good morals, and it's true. So I want to thank all of you for keeping me going for the next year. But to come here, you know, you have to think about, what do you need? Well, I need clothes to be decent. I need a toothbrush so I can talk to people. I need deodorant so I can, you know, walk around them. And, you know, you have to prepare yourself for this big trip. And I thought it was funny because we told my son Judah that, oh, we're going on a big trip and we're going to go to a Bible school and you're going to see Grandma. And he's like, wow, all right, he said, that sounds awesome. And he goes, we're not going to take the house with the big yard? I said, no, we can't take the house with us. But it was funny because we told him that like 3 weeks before the Bible school, and every time he got in the car, until we actually left, every time he got in the car, is this the big trip? Like, no, this isn't the big trip. But is that supposed to be? I believe that's supposed to be our mentality towards this. You know, every time you wake up in the morning, is this the kingdom? Not quite. Not yet. Okay. Maybe next time. You know, next time, you know, a thunderstorm rolls in, the lightning crashes. Is that the kingdom? No. Okay. And they're actually, you know, I've met some people who think that, you know, their heart kind of jumps every time. They're like, they'll hear like a siren or a horn or a lightning crashing. I'm like, is that it? And I think that's how we should be when we're waiting. And a little description of this eagerly waiting I found in Romans 8. If you wanted to turn that out. Romans 8, verse 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subject to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought to the glorious freedom of the children of the Lord. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons to the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. And turn up Isaiah 30, verse 18. Isaiah 30, 18. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion, for the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for him. And in Mark 13, which also parallels Matthew 24, which we've read a lot of this week, Jesus gives us commands to do in this time of waiting. I just underline a few. I'm not going to read the whole passage. I underlined Mark 13, not Matthew 24. In Mark 13, he says, "Watch out that no one deceives you. You must be on your guard. Do not worry about what you are to say. Just say what is given to you at that time. It is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. He who stands firm to the end will be saved. And if someone comes and says, 'Look, here is Christ,' 'Look, there he is,' do not believe him. For false Christs will rise, and prophets will appear before signs and miracles to deceive the elect, if that were possible. So be on your guard. Be on your guard and be alert. Keep watch. Do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone. Watch." I think that might be one of the few times that there's an exclamation point in the Bible where Jesus says to watch and be on your guard. Because if you also read in Habakkuk 2, verse 3, I'm going to pull that up too. It says, "The day of the Lord will come, and it will not delay. So watch." And what are we watching for? What are we waiting for? And I think that's what Joe's class is about, to polish your visions of the kingdom, and you'll finish that today. To polish your vision of what you are watching for. What are you waiting for? And I thought it would be really cool to ride on a shark too, but I think that the kingdom will be this wonderful place of peace and prosperity and just the complete amount of joy and goodness that we will see in that kingdom. And the verse that I've taken also says to be strong and to take heart and wait, and to wait for the Lord. Again, he says to wait twice there. And to be strong and take heart, I found the best thing to take strength in Christ, because Christ glorifies himself in our weaknesses. He is our strength and our shield. The best thing to do is quite simple. It's a little prayer that I say whenever I feel weak. It's to just say, Lord Jesus, give me strength. It's the same thing that David says. It's the same thing that all the prophets and the disciples say. Just, Lord Jesus, give me strength. And you'd be surprised at the power of the name of Jesus Christ. Because if you do a study on the name of Jesus Christ, you'll see that every knee will bow to the name of Jesus Christ. He says, if you ask for anything in my name, it will be given to you. The name of Jesus Christ is very powerful, and it will give you strength. Thank you.